Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to According To. I'm Megan.
And I'm Sierra. For this week's episode, Megan and I are doing another book episode. So for all of you book lovers out there,
this
buckle
one's for
up.
You.
So for this week's episode, I think we had mentioned it a few episodes back. So shout out to whoever's idea this was. Where it was like they gave us the idea. And we are going to go through our favorite books of the month for the entire year of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we'll hit some honorable mentions.
You already went through and, like, did you make a note?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to, like, go through my Goodreads and stuff, too.
So.
And we'll just, I'm sure we'll get on other side tangents.
So we're going to start with, like, just catch up, weekly spotlights.
I feel like I have a lot to catch you guys up on. Just good and bad. My life's been a roller coaster the past 2 or 3 days.
Okay. Should I give you the floor?
You can say.
I guess I know what you're talking about.
I have, like, you know for sure what I'm talking about, but, like, there's other things that. Both good and bad. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Weekly spotlight. We had our It's Christmas over the weekend. That was like really the only thing we had going on. We also like, we did like a brunch with our mom and grandma, and we did like a little escape game on Sunday morning. For our dad's side of the family, we do like a giant Thanksgiving Christmas combined. It was a little bit later this year. Like usually, I feel like it's closer to Thanksgiving, and this year was like.
December,
which it never is. But it's just interesting because it's like this has evolved so much like over the years. And like this time I was kind of thinking now that Haley and Ashton like have a child that they bring with, I obviously only remember like to a certain point. Like the youngest I remember probably actively being was like 7 or 8 at this thing. But I'm pretty sure they've had it like probably basically since we were babies. I'm not entirely sure. But it's like that means like obviously, Dad was still older than Haley and Ashton are, but it's kind of like we have literally like
evolved.
A next generation next gen. Is now here. Like it used to be, the 11 kids, and then like their kids, and that's like.
And it's not like Haley is the first one to have a great grandchild. There are other great grandchildren.
This was like the first year that I just kind of like was like we've been doing this a while.
A minute. That was fun. Along with the brunch, that was also fun. Good weekend. I was also going to mention. Going to like the Jingle and the Junction that we did with our dad last Thursday. That was fun. It was like his idea too, which I feel
also,
like he doesn't always offer.
We have
up,
booked
like,
a trip since we last recorded, right?
Have we not talked about that?
I think not.
I think not.
Actually, I'm getting no because we booked it on Tuesday and then we would have recorded on Sunday.
But then we haven't.
But we have not recorded yet.
Okay.
So we can talk about that a little bit too.
We've
if
booked
you watched
a trip
our vlog, you already
to
saw.
The U.S. Virgin Islands for early March. It's going to be like a 6-day trip, as we said. Shout out to Megan for like planning the entire thing. Megan knows I would like not go on trips if she didn't
plan
it.
Which is like shocking to me because I'm like, I like need to have like
Megan's like, when's the next trip we're going on?
I'm very excited. We have to do like kind of planning out like different things we want to do.
Maggie's going
with us. And I like to go with the flow. So like I'm totally open to being flexible. And I think there's going to be plenty that we're doing where it's just like, I just want to have like beaches to go to.
Restaurants.
Places to eat.
Yeah.
Things like that, and then like we can be flexible from there, and like if there are for sure excursions we want to do, then like having those planned and booked.
If any of you have gone to the U.S. Virgin Islands, we're specifically going to St. John's and St. Thomas, so if you've got any recs
doing,
for
we're
us
renting a car
let us
we're
know
doing Vrbo, that's the vibe we're going for, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. And so yeah,
okay, any other stuff before I get into my last couple days? So it's a low light that I'm starting with. On, I think it was yesterday morning. Yeah, it was Monday. Wow, this has
Monday
been a long
morning.
2 days. Monday morning, I wake up bright and early, as always, because of Vegas. And I look at my email because I notice I have like a few unread emails. And it's like Lululemon saying like, we got your order, blah, blah. And I got like, it's like 7 emails. And it's like PayPal being like, you know, you charged Lululemon to your account, whatever. And I'm always like, you know, hesitant at first when I get those emails, because sometimes they're phishing emails mm-hmm. where it's not really from PayPal or like Lululemon, but like you do the thing where you check the email and it said it was like, you know, at paypal.com and like Lululemon. I looked up their email as well and it was like their legit email. So I was like, oh, I didn't make a purchase from Lululemon from it PayPal. It's like 6 a.m. at this point. So I go downstairs and trying to be like, what can I do? And I go onto my PayPal and let me calculate, you guys, the amount
$6,700
that I had been scammed out of. It's all been resolved at this point, so like we can laugh about it a little bit. Someone had somehow hacked into my PayPal account, which was then linked to my bank, and I've like since it's all been unlinked and like whatever, hopefully I am done dealing with this at this point. But they bought 21 Lululemon puffer coats,
which are expensive,
and they made 7 purchases of $894 each, which ended up being $6,700, I guess, according to Megan's math.
Close to that.
And so initially I was like, I didn't do this. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to call like PayPal customer support. It's 6 a.m. Central Time, so they don't have any people, which I ended up not talking to a single person at any point during this thing. But like I was trying to call and then it wasn't giving me through to anyone. And so I was trying to like figure out if I could do anything online. Well, okay, also, I got an email 2 days before about someone like changing my password on my PayPal, but they hadn't done anything. And so I was like, all I can do at this point is change my password again.
Did you change it then?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not stupid.
Sorry.
But then I also got an email saying that someone had enabled like 2-factor authentication. Is that how it's pronounced? And I was like, so for a while it was like trying to have me log in. It's like, what's your 2-factor thing? And I was like, it's not mine. So I don't know. Kind of find out you can just like download 2-factor authentication apps. So I have like one from Microsoft now. I don't really know how it links to my stuff, but like I go onto the app when I'm trying to log into my PayPal and it's got a number on it that I put in and it somehow knows that it's me. I don't really know how it works.
Like, so you like got it for this.
Yeah, like I kicked them off and I was like, well, I guess I'll do it. Mm-hmm. If they're gonna do it, I'm gonna do it. So it's like I unlinked whatever like number they had put on my account and like whatever like stuff they had linked, and like I did the thing where it's like you log out of all the devices. Well, because at first I told Megan that I had changed my password and I didn't do the 2-factor thing. I think they had like changing my password again because they had the 2-factor thing. So I'd like try and log and be like, nope. And I was like, I just changed my password, so I had to go and change it again. And it's like back and forth until I unlinked their 2-factor thing. Since then, I do not think they've been able to log on, and I put my own 2-factor thing on.
I was kind of like, how do they do this?
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I, like, unlinked my card, my bank account from my PayPal. And all these transactions, like, the $894 were pending at this point. And so you would think, I would think, that you should just be able to, like, cancel a pending payment to say, no, don't do this. Cancel it. Like, I don't want you to charge anything. Or, like, at the very least, be able to flag a pending payment to say, like, nope. And correct me if I'm wrong, I tried to Google a lot of stuff and it all pretty much said you can't do anything until it's gone through as a completed payment. And so, like little by little,
slowly the payments would go through.
Yeah, like 2 payments went through and then I was able to like call PayPal and like report a case and whatever with those 2 payments. And like I was also trying to contact Lululemon at this point to say like these orders, like don't send them because like there's stuff on their website where it's like if you can contact them beforehand to have the packages all like returned to the warehouse and they can give you a refund. And like I don't know how all this dispute stuff where
the 21 puffers
goes
are going.
On like the 21 puffers have shipped. I got emails
so
that all of them have shipped.
They might still be getting the puffers they wanted. And like whose money is being spent,
right? Because I disputed at this point all the payments have gone through and like I disputed all of them. PayPal has closed all those cases, so like they refunded me all my money.
$6,700
unless PayPal pay. I don't know how it works. So that was what I've been dealing with the past couple days. This kind of stuff doesn't really freak me out though, because I'm always like,
it works itself out. You can always get your money back.
You know,
like, in my mind, like that's what I think.
I wasn't like necessarily freaking out. I was just kind of like, how do I like resolve this as quickly as possible? And I feel like it wasn't resolved as quickly as I had like hoped. Like it's all said and done now, and it's only been like less than 48 hours. I know it's like being dramatic, but I was like, I just feel like I should be able to like go in and cancel all of them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that was bad thing. Good thing. I ordered some Dip and Daisy swimsuits. Megan did as well. Those came today. They're very cute.
Love them.
And then second kind of fun thing is that I got an email this is like not special to me. But Dip and Daisy is like looking for ambassadors.
Do a link. There's a link you can go sign up for.
But I was like,
an email back.
I was like, why not sign up? Like, become an ambassador. I have personally like ordered some suits from them. That's obviously like what this most recent order was. But I've also like promoted them organically, and I like think that it's a good, sustainable, affordable brand.
Has
women
cute owned, suits.
Women operated. So I figure I would like to be a part of that as an ambassador. And so as of right now, I think they have accepted me as an ambassador. So keep your eyes peeled for
Sierra's gonna be
some links and codes and stuff potentially.
I also signed up to see if I would get accepted, so we'll see.
And then other bad news.
Oh, I also have like Figs scrubs coming on the way. I'm excited about that. Because I was like, I have enough scrub pants bottoms, but sometimes I am like, I like have like least favorite pairs that like I don't love wearing. And then like I get to the end of the week and I'm like, no. So I've ordered 3 new ones. They're all different style bottoms. I'm going to make a TikTok, I think, doing a little try on haul.
You kind of went crazy last year with your scrubs TikToks.
Yeah, I did.
So you need to
And my like Brooklyn or my Athleta videos did pretty well too. One video.
Other sad thing for me, and this has happened twice now. Sorry if you can hear my stomach growling, but it's whatever. In my closet, I have this hanging organizer for all of my folded clothes. And last year at some point, I think, or maybe it was earlier this year, I don't remember. It was like breaking because I think my clothes were like too heavy for it and I couldn't handle it. So then it broke. So I had to buy a new one. And I woke up this morning and it was broke again.
Too much weight.
So I need to do a Target run at some point. I also like want to, I need to show you some of the stuff that I was looking for to get for my bathroom. Because I think I want to like commit to like actually finishing it in terms of like, I was like maybe looking like matching my room kind of with like the yellow stuff that I have going on. Maybe getting some shelves.
I honestly like, right now. I was just thinking this like 2 weeks
ago. I was thinking
about
getting a new shower curtain.
Like 2 weeks ago, I was just like, I don't know if we were vlogging and I just like paid extra attention to it. But like in my bathroom, I have like my combined towel rack with shelf, and I'm like, this shelf, I love this shelf. Like, I know everyone has just like, well, not everyone, but like a lot of people have like shelves with their products on it, like just out so you can like easily access stuff, and I just love it because like it's not on my counter and I reach for stuff often. But I also need to do like, I could benefit from organizing my bathroom a little bit.
That's the other thing, is I have not organized my bathroom at all. We moved in, I put everything away and was like, I'll deal with this later.
It's
and I've
later.
Not dealt with it.
It's later.
And it's not like it's a mess. It just like doesn't make sense. And like there's no rhyme or reason to where anything is. I don't have anything stored underneath my sink.
No,
and
it's
I have plenty
scary.
Of room.
Like how it's just empty under there.
Scary.
I like stuff is organized under my sink, but like I feel like it could be better. And also like honestly, like the real thing is like my drawers need to be organized.
No, I know, me
my
too.
My drawers.
I just need to like clean stuff out too. I feel like I have a lot of products that I don't use that I
or
need
like,
to throw out.
I like perpetually just have like my travel
bag, like the
LL
Bean thing.
Yeah. What is the name I'm looking for? Like toiletries. My toiletries bag. I just have it perpetually hanging up on like the jewelry organizer, like in my closet, so like it's at easy access. I don't use stuff for there every day, but like my eyelash curler is in there, my mascara is in there.
Why?
Because I don't use it every day. So
okay. I don't know where my mascara is. I feel like I must
I
have
honestly,
left it at
like,
the gym.
You know what, I
it was like empty though.
My mascara is like, I could get a new one. I like hardly wear mascara anymore, I feel like, unless we're going to like,
you're just an all natural girl. Do you ever think like when you're getting ready, the
sometimes
steps
I get scared
that are
taking about like my wedding makeup.
Hold on, we can elaborate on that if you want to. But like, it's interesting how the steps that I take to like get ready on a daily basis versus like getting ready for like an event is not that different. But like, I feel so much like more confident, and maybe it's like the combination of the hair and the outfit that I inevitably like put on or wear when I'm getting ready for a nicer event. But I'm just like, look at me slay, and I do not, you know, necessarily feel that way every single day. But it's like the only difference is maybe like me putting on my like Benetton blush and maybe some eyeshadow.
Here's the thing. I will not be doing my own makeup for my wedding because I would be like, this is disgusting. I look crusty. I'm not good at doing makeup. I've never had like, I really don't care to learn how to do my makeup either. Like that's the other thing is like, I could learn. I probably could get better. I could probably find better products, but like, it's just, I don't care. And so that leaves me like, I'm stuck with like my level that I've just decided I'm at. And like the Pixi thing that I use under my eyes, like when I want to, like it's fine, it does the trick, but like it still isn't like amazing. And so I just like think sometimes I'm like, when I like get my wedding makeup done, like I want to look like myself. And we got our makeup professionally done for our senior pictures, so I'm sure it will be fine. But like, you know what I might not do? The fake eyelashes. Those were not staying on for nothing. And then like I was just like, my eyelashes, like I could feel them just like straight sticking up.
Did we have fake eyelashes for Haley's wedding?
I don't think so. I was like, and I know my makeup, like it looked fine for that too, but like
I still didn't feel like myself. I don't know, I just didn't feel my best. I think it was a combination of,
I know, like, we've talked about this before,
hair, like, my or makeup.
How come Haley pre-planned and said, can you guys do a blowout-esque like curl style? Why does this girl pull out a straightener to then curl my hair?
She's like, yes, we can do that, but like I won't.
But I'll just curl my hair, curl your hair however I curl anyone else's hair. Yeah. She pulled that out and I was like, and I'm not going to say anything. But I was like.
But in her head.
No.
And like she definitely could have like done like a blowout style with a straightener. You know what I mean?
It'd like, be hard.
Straighten it and then flip it a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway. We've been rambling, which is fine. But is there anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's jump into some book-related content.
So, in case you guys are unfamiliar, Megan and I both set reading goals for how many books we wanted to read.
I guess, do we want to wait till we get to this month to then talk about current reads or upcoming reads to finish up the year? Do we want to do that now?
No, let's wait.
Okay.
So, my goal, and I should be able to do this because I have 2 weeks left and I need to read 2 more books. I think I can do it. My goal for the year is 50 books. I think I'm going to maintain that goal for next year.
And I think I will bump mine up from 45, I think is what it was this year. I'm going to make it 50.
So, that being said, I wrote down, I mean, I keep a running list in my phone of all the books that I read. I also have a Goodreads if you guys want to follow me on there. But I did go through, for your guys' convenience, and say like how many books I read each month, and then like what kind of like my star ratings were, and then like have my favorites.
I have also like how many books I read each month. Some of them obviously like are like overlapped by months, so I try to just throw it in one or the other, but if it's not exact, like don't be surprised.
Okay. I slay at the beginning of the year, and then it progressively gets a little bit less and less.
I feel like I surprisingly stayed pretty consistent, except for maybe like these last couple months, and obviously like the first 2 months were better because I didn't have a job yet. But
so in January I read 7 books.
I read 6 books in January.
I had 4 star reads and 3 star reads.
I only have written down my best book, although I do know the first books I read at the beginning of the year, they weren't like my best books of the year. I know I had a couple 3 stars or 3.5 stars. So my top book of January was By a Thread, which is by Lucy Score, and it's a billionaire romance, Grumpy Sunshine. It's kind of a long book, but all of Lucy Score's books tend to be. And I remember, like, it's usually a good sign that I like a book a lot when I'm, like, actively trying to, like, read it on my Kindle. It helps when it's on Kindle Unlimited, and then I have my phone, and then, like, any waking moment where I can, I'm, like, reading. It's probably a good sign, and I remember doing that for this book, so I did really enjoy it. It wasn't a 5-star, but, like, it doesn't need to be for it to be enjoyable. So that was mine. So
my best book. My top book for January was actually the first book that I read in January. It was Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. Blake Crouch is like, not quickly because I've like read 2 books this year, but
quickly becoming
one of my favorite, like, I don't know if he's technically sci-fi, like he is, but then he's also like, I don't know. I guess sci-fi is like the best way to describe his books. Because I read Dark Matter and then Recursion. That'll be coming up a little bit later, I think. And it's just like the plot twists are nice. It's not like a typical thriller or anything, so it's like the like angst behind what you're reading is a little bit different
type of writing.
Yeah,
makes you think,
like it's still like a plot twist. There's still like plot twists in there and like, oh my god, like I didn't expect that. but it's not like a typical thriller of like whodunit, you know, which I love, you know, there's a time and place for those, but I think that was like the first book that I read that's kind of like, oh, I haven't read a book like this before. And then I have since tried to seek more out.
Any, did you say honorable mentions or just that one book?
I have some, can we talk about books that we hated too? Sure. Not just like, granted, I don't think I rated a book less than 3 stars this year, I think.
I personally, what do you feel like if people DNF a book and then give it 1 star? I feel like you can't rate a book you didn't finish. It just needs to be that you DNF'd it.
I agree with that.
That's why I would probably never rate a book 1 star, because like, I am not reading it if it is 1 star.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you should finish it, but like, you know, whatever. To each their own. Darling Girl, I read this year in January. I did not like that one. I thought it was very strange. I don't need to like go through every single book that I read, so I will leave it for January.
These are like my lower lights, since I mentioned like I didn't love the first couple books I read this year. I read this one's, it's hard because I feel like I respect it more like from afar. The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle.
I like that one.
I gave it 3 stars, and the reason being, like, it is a long book, and it took me a long time to read it. Not long, I guess like 8 days. But when that was the only thing I had going on in my life, like, that's a long time. And it just got, like, a little bit too confusing for me to, like, fully grasp and understand.
I like when books kind of confused me a little bit.
This one was just, like, a little bit too far. And then The Guest List by Lucy Foley, I gave 3.5 stars. I felt like that was, like, overhyped, and I just really didn't like the book or the characters all that much. Like, I never got invested. So I was kind of, like, underwhelmed by that one.
Okay. For February, I read 8 books. I think that was the most books I read in 1 month.
I read 7. So February was also my highest book month.
So I had 4s pretty much across the board, which is a very good reading month for me, with the exception of 1 book being 4.5 stars, and that was Billy Summers by Stephen King.
My top book, because it's one of 2 books I rated 5 stars, and this could have been like, I know that I enjoyed this book, but it could have also been like a right place, right time, right book for me moment. So if you read this and you're like, 5 stars, like, interesting. But it's Mine Would Be You by Kay Jamila or Hamila, I do not know.
Hamila.
It was just it was like a former ex's friend who she like reconnects with at a wedding. And it was very like golden retriever boyfriend energy, I feel like. And it was more so like the girl was the one who was like not sure and more grumpy. And I just really liked it when I read it. And then I do have 2 honorable mentions.
I have 1 honorable mention.
My first honorable mention is The Soulmate Equation by Christina Lauren. I gave that one 4.5 stars. And then The Right Move by Liz Tom Ford, which is on Kindle Limited.
Did you give that one 4.5 stars?
I think I either give it 4 or 4.5. I don't recall. I think I give it 4.5.
Okay. My honorable mention is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. I just, like, really think of all the books that I read this year. Like, I'm not, like, a quotes person in books. And granted, I still, like, I didn't highlight or, like, you know, I'm not an annotation girly. But I was like, wow, I like what I'm seeing.
This right
here. Like, I would just stop and, like, reread it and be like, that was a good one. You typed that and you were like,
I like when for Kindle Unlimited books how it has like underlines. Yeah, so I love seeing.
Do you ever like, are you reading and you like see something highlighted down there? Like, what's going on? What's gonna happen?
Yeah,
what are you gonna
say? Usually, just like a nice sweet quote.
But yeah, I know there's like mixed opinions on Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. I know you didn't love it, but
I really enjoyed it.
It's not like a genre that I typically read. I think it was just like literary fiction, and I enjoyed it, and I loved the writing. And I love the cover. That's, like, probably, of all the books that we own, like, one of, the, like, my favorite covers.
March, I read 5 books in March.
I read 7.
Dang, so that's another nice full month for you.
I was still not employed. I was employed fully until May.
Crazy. Here I was working. Okay. My top book for March was 11/22/63. I gave that book 4.5 stars. It is by Stephen King. It's a very long book. It's like 900 pages.
It's 850.
850. It's about the main guy whose name is
Jake Epping.
Jake Epping. He travels back in time through a little portal to try and stop the assassination of JFK, but it takes him back like 5 years prior to that. And so he has to like live life on his own, really.
It's like such an interesting story because I feel like you say the premise, but like it's so much more than just like that premise. Because like the idea of him going and stopping the assassination like you doesn't happen until the end of the book.
Yeah. So it was a fun, nice little book about his journey with that. And I would say if you haven't read, like Stephen King is known for his horror, but like we have read multiple Stephen King books and none of them have been horror.
Right.
But he has very good writing and good stories. So while that book is large and daunting, you could give it a try.
If you it's want, definitely like one of his most highly rated books, like across the board.
I would say if you want something a little less daunting, you could do Billy Summers. That would be, like, it's not as long. So try that out first, maybe.
But, like, also, I had read Misery before, which granted is, like, I think 300-something pages, so that's a very manageable book. But I gave that one, like, 3.5 stars. I didn't love it. And then I saw, like, 11/22/63 at the store, and I was like, I need to read that for like no reason. I was like, it was well rated on Goodreads, but typically I'm like, I have like big book fear. So I don't know like why I was like, I need to read that. But I did. And I am so happy that I did. I read that book last year.
She's even convinced people, like other people we
know. Yeah, I've gotten a surprising amount of people to read it.
Book.
And by that, I mean, I got you, Ashton, and our mom to read it. But that's honestly
like, Haley in theory is like,
it's impressive though for how long it is.
Yeah.
Okay. March. I think I had just like...
I have an honorable mention. I guess, okay. Yeah, you're still in March, so you can go.
So I read 7 books. I think they were pretty much all 4 stars. So I had 2 that I wanted to share because I couldn't really think of which one I wanted more. A Flicker in the Dark by Stacey Willingham. And then Before We Were Strangers by Renee Carlino.
It's funny you mention. Because for my next 2 months, I read... Or my honorable mention was Before We Were Strangers when I read it in March. I feel like for some reason this one, even though it's not probably that much different content-wise than like other romance books I read.
It is.
Okay. Well, then I'm glad you agree because I was going to say like it feels different.
It's not like a rom-com.
It's like...
It's like romance, but like there's real life problems.
It reminds me of 70s in June.
You know that's... Did we put those two together?
We made the video where I hadn't read either of them. So I was like...
Well, you hadn't read either of them?
I read Before We Were Strangers first, so I would have had to have... Okay. What do you call that? Like, if it's not contemporary romance? Meaningful romance?
Literary romance? I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah. I don't remember who the author is.
Do you? Renee Carlino.
So, that was my honorable mention. April, I read 5 books, and no honorable mention. I'm going to have to go look at, like, what books I read where there's not a single honorable mention. But A Flicker in the Dark was my top book of that month because I felt like it felt good to kind of have like a thriller mystery where I actually felt like it was worth my time. I didn't read a lot of mystery thrillers this year, but it was a good one. And I did not see the end coming, so.
Okay, so for April, I read 3 books. This was a slow month for me, but it's because I think I was predominantly reading very long books. So it wasn't a slay month for me. I had a 3-star, 3.5-star, and a 4-star, which put... like my then favorite for that month was Mine Would Be You. Again, I'm kind of indifferent about the book, but the other 2 books I read were Red Metal and Outlander, and I actually gave both of those 3.5 stars. And those were very long, so that took up a lot of my time. And Mine Would Be You was supposed to be like my I need to get a book done fast.
Here's some of the other books I read in April because I kind of had like a meh kind of month.
We both had a meh April.
Daisy Jones and the Six, I finished early April, and I didn't dislike the book. I just feel like I can appreciate Taylor Jenkins Reid and her writing, but it's like she's not probably my favorite author ever, and like she does like a little bit more of like that literary fiction stuff, so like that's not always the books I gravitate for. We even tried watching like the
I think Hulu we watched show. Almost the full episode of the
but it's just one. Like I just don't really care that much. Then I read Terms and Conditions, which is the 2nd book in the Dreamland Billionaires series. I rated that 4 stars. I did enjoy it, but I don't really have like any other thoughts or notes for it. I also read The Housemaid, and then I read Say You Swear, which is like, that book is like the one I probably have like the most thoughts on that month because like, it's pretty long, and I rated it 3.75. There were like so many different tropes going on in this book, and like not all of them were good. And it has like a love triangle, but it's like a not well done love triangle. But like one of the guys I did really, really like him as a person and as a character. So like that kept being like the redeeming factor, like why I was reading that book.
Go so and so.
But it was like, it's an interesting book, and that's all I can say. So
I just realized I had some of my books mixed up. So this was April. My 3-star for April was So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, which is a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book.
I was like, what?
What? There's some interesting titles in that series. So then that was 3 stars. Red Metal was 3.5, and then Mine Would Be You was 4. So now going to my May. Did you finish with your May?
I haven't started May.
Oh.
We are done with April.
Are you done with April?
Yeah.
Okay. So May I read and finished 2 books.
Oh.
Outlander. Again, that was okay. Like the long one that I was talking about. Gave that one 3.5 stars. And then Happy Place, which I gave 5 stars. So
at least you have that.
That was my top book for
In May. I read 4 books. I reread Beach Read, which I regave 5 stars. And then I have an honorable mention for Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. I also really like her romance books, but I do feel like, and Emily Henry's books are like perfect no-nos, like perfect all the way through. And then in Abby
Jimenez.
Except for
people we meet on vacation.
Yeah. Abby Jimenez, I found that like, love her books, like almost to the level of Emily Henry. And then like, there's usually like a third act breakup or like something else that like I don't love. So it just like kind of drops it down a little bit for me, but I still love her writing style and her characters that she writes. And it gives me kind of like a similar feeling to Emily Henry. So that was a good one. If I scroll through any other ones, I read The Rosie Project, which was a 3.5 star. And we mentioned this in a video we made where we were like, if you like this book, read this book. But it kind of gives me Flowers for Algernon vibes. Are you ever planning on reading The Rosie Project?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
It's on our bookshelf, so, you know, inevitably I have to.
And then I also read Red Queen early May. And I don't know if I'm planning on finishing that series.
That's what I was
series.
Like, sometimes like I finish a book and I'm like, I could finish, like, go
and then
continue
I'm like,
that series.
And then later I'm like, eh. I don't really. Especially because, here's what I'll say. When I read Red Queen before I read ACOTAR. And when I was reading the first book, ACOTAR, I was kind of like, this is like really quite similar to Red Queen. Just in terms of like, I hadn't read a whole lot of fantasy books. There's a girl who's like not supposed to be here. And she's in the fairy world or fantasy world now. And like, the premise was like the same on the bare bones. And so, but I was like, ACOTAR is better though, even though I both rated both of them 4 stars. But then like I have since continued with ACOTAR. So now I feel no need to like
go
finish up
Red
whatever
Queen.
This is. And I've heard people say it gets worse from Red Queen. So then I just am like, that's really not convincing me then. Okay. Now we can move on to June.
Okay. So for June, I finished 3 books. My top book was 20 Years Later by Charlie Donnelly. I gave that 4.5 stars. My other 2 books were 4 stars.
So in June, I read 5 books. My top book was Happy Place by Emily Henry. I need to like reread that book, even though like I literally already read it this year. I've told myself.
Paperback comes out, when did you say?
April? That's kind of a ways away.
Yeah. And Meg and I were at this like bookstore the other day, and we're like, what is her spine going to be?
It's always a different color.
And so we had guessed, based off of it being a secondary color to one of the other colors on the cover, we're like, maybe yellow. And it is, in fact, yellow. And I will be buying the paperback because I need it to complete my stack.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have any other.
I can give like a rundown of 20 Years Later, since I feel like it's not as popular. So I guess I would classify it as like a mystery thriller still. And having like my most recent book that I just read was also by Charlie Donnelly. It seems like his writing style tends to be like a mix of different timelines and perspectives, which I think is kind of fun, as like that doesn't happen a lot in like a ton of mysteries and thrillers. And I feel like it allows for like the timelines to connect in a way that I'm like, oh, shoot. And so 20 Years Later follows this like journalist. What is it called when they're like the Dateline
type of journalist?
Yeah, investigative journalist. It follows her like wanting to do the story about 9/11 20 years later because they found like evidence of someone's remains in like they got a DNA match of someone's remains like found at the tower site, Ground Zero. And so they're going to do a story about like talking about the DNA remains, but then they also found like, oh, like the DNA remains match someone who was like on trial for murder like right before 9/11 happened and they like were presumed dead. And so then she wants to do this whole story on it, but then like things start to connect with like her past. She has stuff coming up about like her dad who was like a con artist or whatever, yeah, like trying to like, you know, police are trying to investigate him and like he's on the run, so like police are trying to like contact her because they think she knows where he's at. And it's like a bunch of like swirling timelines that like all eventually like kind of come together. And I just thought like in a lot of mysteries and thrillers, it's hard to connect to the main characters and like feel like you're rooting for someone. But I think the author did a great job of like, I feel like I got to know the main character and I was like caring about what happened to her and like delved into like their lives and like personalities beyond just like what some thrillers do where it's like, this is so-and-so. Mm-hmm. She's like the cold like businesswoman that you know nothing about.
Frieda McFadden, I feel like kind of like you never you truly don't care connect about, to right. her characters.
That's why I can never give her more than 4 stars.
She writes good stories, but like I never...
You don't care.
Yeah. Okay. More in June?
Mm-hmm.
I said June already. But I will say like, let's look at a couple other books I read.
You know, we should do a video of... I don't know what this would be. But you saying June, I was like, 7 days in June. I was like, we should like read... Like you read a book...
With the title with like, of the month.
Yeah. It's like 7 days in June, November 9th. I don't know what else counts as that. It's just a thought I had.
So a couple other books I read. I read The Bodyguard by Catherine Senner, which is so funny because like that was on my TBR for so long, but like I couldn't find a physical copy for the longest time. And I would say like I certainly remember what it's about, but like it for how long it was on my TBR and kind of like how much I anticipated reading the book. It was just a 4-star kind of simple, easy typical thing. Romance. And then also like I was getting really confused because I read that really close with like When in Rome and then Practice Makes Perfect, and I kind of felt like they were like the same books but like different fonts, like they were all running together by the time I was done reading those books. So if you ask me something
you may feel the same when you read Nora Goes Off Script, because I felt like Nora Goes Off Script really reminded me of The Bodyguard.
Okay. So fair warning to anyone who cares. And then I also did an audiobook by Megan Quinn. I did The Runaway Groomsman. This was because I was doing a lot of driving with my job around this time. And so I figured I would do an audiobook. And I wouldn't particularly recommend any of Megan Quinn's books. Mostly, like, the characters were just, like, not likable. It was just, like, a romance. But I just thought, like, the characters were, like, trying too hard to be quirky. And, like, I just didn't like it. But I did listen to the whole book, so...
So you can read it at least.
Yeah.
I read 3 books in July. I gave all of them 4 stars. So I think my favorite, because I read Red Rising, The Bodyguard, and 7 Days in June. I think The Bodyguard is my favorite. I don't know. 7 Days in June was good, but I just feel like The Bodyguard was like, I just needed a light, mm-hmm, fluffy romance. And that's what it provided for me.
In July, I read 4 books.
I read 7 Days in June in July.
Mm. So there's another, I guess you just said June was 7 Days in June was one that inspired your idea, right?
Yeah.
I was going to be like, that's another, there's another one.
Oh, add that to your list.
July, my top book was Done and Dusted. I don't know why, but
I
just
had
like,
August
and
was
that's by
Done
Lila
and Dusted.
Sage. Like, it just,
it was like crack for me.
It's a short book. The cover's cute. And I just was like, I'm
going to
eat
this up. You read it on It doesn't matter what the cover looked like.
It was still cute. I like the upcoming artwork for the next one. It's just like a cowboy romance. And
yeah, all of my August books, because I read 1, 2, 3. I read 4 books in August. They're all 4 stars. Or sorry, 1 was 3.5. But like Done and Dusted was like far and away like my favorite book in August. So maybe I should have rated it higher, but whatever.
I'm like, okay, you're confusing me what month I'm looking at.
You're August, I think.
No, I was looking to see if there's anything else I wanted to say about July.
Oh.
I read The Love Wager by Lynn Painter, which I gave 4 stars. I read Practice Makes Perfect. I read 20 Years Later. I read The Final Offer, which ended up being my favorite book in the Dreamland Billionaire series. I gave it 4.25, which is funny because, like, I technically rated, or no, this is in August now. So I was like, technically, I should have probably put that above Done and Dusted. But, like,
feeling wise, it would be Done and Dusted.
Okay. So now we're in August. What are we in?
I already did my August.
Okay, my August. My top choice was 20 Years Later by Charlie Donnelly. And I get 4.25 stars. And I read 4 total books in August, one of which includes A Court of Thorns and Roses. But I feel like I kind of didn't grow to appreciate that book until, like, after I had read it and then gotten the second one done. So, like, that book in and of itself. Some people, like, especially on TikTok, because I am on Book Talk, but it's like a lot of people
star
say, book,
like a blank star series. Is that what you're talking about?
No. But, oh. Like, some people are kind of, like, make a comment of, like, I am a changed person. I'm a different person before and after ACOTAR. There's 2 periods of my life, before ACOTAR and after ACOTAR. And I don't really, like, relate to that. So, but I love the people that do, because I think it's amazing to have something you love so much that you're just like, I was who I was before.
And now I am who I am. Okay. Are we on to September? Mm-hmm. I read 3 books in September. Arguably, potentially my favorite book of the year, The 7-Year Slip. I get 5 stars by Ashley Poston. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. I love this book so, so much. I've only read 1 book by her, and I've honestly heard not great things about The Dead Romantics, so I don't know if I'm going to read it, because I don't want it to, like, taint. I was saying tint. I don't want it to taint, like, the feelings I have for 7-Year Slip. But very much, like, that book specifically reminded me a lot of Beach Read and just, like, Emily Henry's writing. And if you've ever seen the movie Just Like Heaven with Reese Witherspoon and Mark Ruffalo, I feel like it's just, like, such similar vibes to that. And I love that movie. So,
September, I read 5 books. 7-Year Slip was also my number one choice. And I gave it 4 stars. Like, I probably could have given it, like, 4.5 stars, but I just, like, didn't. And like Sierra said, it was just, like, a very fun, enjoyable, but, like, kind of different contemporary romance. I feel like there were more layers to it.
There's, like, magical realism is a term that I've learned about, like, people using to describe that book, where it's not, like, fantasy, but, like, it's just, like, you magical elements.
Back in time to someone's apartment.
The premise, I guess, since we didn't say, the premise is that this girl is living in her aunt's apartment after her aunt passes away, and then at some random times she figures out that her apartment, like, she'll walk in and it's like 7 years in the past. Mm-hmm. And then she meets a guy who's, like, living at that apartment 7 years prior. And then, like, they meet, fall in love, you know. But then she, like, will go back in the present. And then she doesn't see him for a while. Like, there's no controlling when she goes in the past. I could definitely
see it as, like, and I've only reread 1 book. But, like, I could see it as, like, that'd be on the reread list.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
An honorable mention
for... I also read Fourth Wing in September.
An honorable mention for me is Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood. I always tend to like her books. So that one was no different.
I'm ready for October.
Me too.
I read 2 books in October.
I guess, hold on. Things We Left Behind, I read in September. I gave it 3.5 stars. That was kind of a disappointing read, like, given how I was excited for that to be, like, the last one in the series. But some people were, like, really, really looking forward to Lucien and Sloane's book, and I really didn't care that much.
You say these names and it means nothing to me.
It was it's Lucien and Sloane's book, so.
Sloane. Oh. I was like, what Lucien? Is Sloane?
And Sloane.
Okay. October? Are you ready?
Yes.
So I read 2 books in October. My favorite was Recursion by Blake Crouch. I gave that 4.5 stars. And I also read Never Lie by Freda McFadden. Again, as of right now, I'm not giving a Freda McFadden book more than 4 stars. It just does what it needs to do. A quick, fast-paced, relatively interesting thriller. No other things that I care about. Recursion... very great. It almost felt like 2 different books when you were reading it, where it's like you think you know what's going on in the first half of the book,
and then, like, switches gears. Whole half of the book left.
Because what does it start out as? I don't even, like, remember how it really starts.
There's, like, this sickness going around where people start, like, going crazy because they start acting like they have, like, different lives going on, and it's like if you come in contact with them, then, like, it happens to you. And so initially, there's this guy who's, like, a detective, and he gets a call to, like, go help with someone who's, like, trying to jump off a building. And so he goes and talks to her, and she's kind of, like, sounding crazy, talking about, like, this other life her husband had, and she's confused.
She's like, it's just as real as my life that I like know that I also had. That's like, not people that
have
life.
Like, they have like, they just like in their mind, they have like a whole other life. Like they know their life now, but they also have like this whole other life that's like in their memory, and it just like comes on.
Anyway, so it's like that's what you think of it at first, but then you come to realize as you're reading like what exactly it is that they're experiencing, and then like the main character tries to come up with a solution to like counteract these people like experiencing multiple lives. Mm-hmm. And then like but then it's like that kind of like resolves, and there's this whole second half of the book that's like just beyond crazy. So mm-hmm. good. And that's all I'll say. You should read it.
October, I read four
I read books. It pretty much entirely. I did start it technically before, but like our 10-hour car ride back from Cincinnati, I basically read just like yeah. the entirety of the book.
My top book was also Recursion, because I read it right before Sierra and was like, you need to read this. I gave it 4.5 stars. And it was a really good science fiction book. Honorable mentions, A Court of Mist and Fury and Flawless, which is the first book in the Chestnut Springs series. So, moving on.
November. Had two reads in November. Demon Copperhead and Beach Read was a reread of mine as well. Demon Copperhead I gave 3.5 stars. Beach Read I re-gave 5 stars. So that's my top book of November.
November I read 3 books. My top one was Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yeros. And I also read Caught Up, which is the second book in the Windy City series. And then I read Divine Rivals. I really felt like it took me like a little bit more to get into Divine Rivals than I was expecting it to.
Comment on, since I haven't read Divine Rivals, people saying like Fourth Wing is for romance readers to get into fantasy and Divine Rivals is for fantasy readers to get into romance. That's the comparison I've heard.
No, because I would honestly probably say the opposite. Because really? I felt like in Fourth Wing, it took, like, you obviously know there's tension between the two characters, like, during most of the book. But I feel like nothing romantic happens between them for, like, quite a while. I could be wrong. I'm not entirely sure when it happens. Versus, like, Divine Rivals, I feel like there's really not that much, like, magical elements. Like, it's pretty, like, it's not magical realism, because, like, there certainly are, like, fantasy things. But, like, the main thing is, like, there's a war going on, and, like, the two people have typewriters that, like, are magical and, like, send letters to each other. Like, there's, and I feel like their plot line is the main thing.
So is then, Divine Rivals just, this is how you lose the time war in a different font?
Well, they're, like, in the same world.
They're in the same world?
I don't know how to, I don't know what that book you're talking about is about, so
we'll get
know.
To it.
Anyways, the second book for Divine Rivals comes out December 26th. I don't know if I'll read it right away, but I do think I will continue the series.
Is it the same, like, characters that follows? Especially because
it left on more of a cliffhanger than I was expecting. Like, I was like, I didn't know this ended on a cliffhanger.
I need to decide when I want to read Iron Flame.
Fourth Wing was a 4-star read for me.
I've heard such mixed feelings about Iron Flame. I'm trying to go into it with, like, no thoughts.
I've heard it's really confusing.
Good. You know what I said? I'd like to be a little confused.
So that's my November, and that leads us to this month.
As you guys know, maybe you didn't, but I have been slacking on my reading. I was like, am I going to meet my goal? So I've been kind of slacking this month. I've read 4 books so far.
I have read 3 books.
And I need to finish 2 more at some point. So, I think I've read 2 Kindle Unlimited books, and like they're both 4 stars that I gave them. So I just finished Some Choose Darkness by Charlie Donnelly, and then I also read a book called Stillhouse Lake by Rachel Kane. And like, I feel like I'll just put them both out there because they're kind of like very similar vibes. Mystery thriller, trying to like solve like a murder in both of them.
My top book was 7 Days in June by Tia Williams, and I definitely liked this book. It was still just like a 4-star for me. But I liked that this felt, like we were talking about with, before We Were Strangers, it felt like it just had
a little bit more substance. To it.
And I liked both like, of the it's characters. Almost,
does it make sense when it's like, these feel like characters that could be in like this world that we live in?
Yeah.
Versus like yeah. a lot of contemporary
realms. Like, I feel like it could be like, you're looking this at is their like a world. Movie. You know what I mean? Not that like yeah. other stuff couldn't be a movie, but like, no, I can, I know like, what you mean. I have like I have pretty good like visualizations of like both of those books. You know what I could do?
Both those books have like real people on the cover. Does that do anything?
That's all it needs.
I don't know.
Never Lie, I listened to an audiobook, and
Megan has thoughts.
I just think when I found out the twist,
I feel like when I learned the twist, I was like, I feel like I need to reread this and see if it tracks.
I just feel like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to like spoil anything, but I just felt like having been revealed the twist, I just kind of like didn't buy that that made sense fully with how the author wrote the book, but that's all I'll say.
Something else that I wanted to talk about, I was like honorable mention, but like not really honorable mention because I only gave it 3 stars. So I read This Is How You Lose the Time War by, I think it's technically by two people, Amal L. Notar, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, and then Max Gladstone. So I am happy that I read this because it's just been like a book that I've wanted to read for a while, and I was like, I've heard mixed reviews about it, but I still want to read it. The premise is that there's two people from like different worlds, but like they're also like operating in the same world. It's like here's the world that they can both go in, and like here's one of their worlds, and then here's another one of the worlds, and I feel like they both can like go into the same world, and they like write letters to each other. I gave it 3 stars because like the premise was nice. It just seemed like it was a little bit more flowery, and like it's very much focused on like the writing style of the authors as opposed to like the plot, because there's really not like a lot to like grab onto in terms of plot. You're kind of like, what are you talking about? I don't really get what you're saying. And like, what is this war going on? And so it's very much like, it was hard for me to like really understand what was going on. And like, I felt like this is one of those books where I read it and I'm like, I'm either really stupid or you guys are doing a little bit too much right now. I still like, I enjoyed the vibe of it, but I couldn't really tell you what was going on.
Just vibes.
So 3 stars for that one, which may make it, I mean, I probably gave other books 3 stars too, but no less than 3 stars this year. I'm pretty hard. I can think back to books that I've read.
The Room is the only book I read this year where I actually went back and downgraded it to like 2 stars.
But
because I'm like, you know what? I did not like this.
But I forced myself to recall that I actually like have read and disliked, which I guess I could then maybe go back, because I read Darling Girl this year. I could go back and give that 2 stars probably because I really don't like it. I actively disliked it. Otherwise, Sharp Objects, I'm like, I can go and give that 2 stars because I did not like it. I say this, I'm not actually gonna go back and change my rating. I feel like once I do that, I locked it in. I can't change it. And then what was the other book? Oh, Sally Thorne, 99% Mine. I hated that book. 2 stars. But really, I gave it 3.
That leads us to our current reads, which, so you're not reading anything. I am currently reading A Court of Wings and Ruin. So I've decided that I'm going to jump back in. This is not the longest. It's not. This is the longest one in the series so far, though, that I've read. And it is 700 pages. I'm at like 100 pages right now. So my goal is to hopefully, I would like to finish this and one other book before the end of the year, but I just don't know if that's going to happen. So this could be the last one.
I think I'm going to read a romance next. Megan has a couple in her room. I think I might try When in Rome or The Love Wager.
Makes me upset that you just like have to like try and pick shorter books because you're trying to meet your goal, when I'm like, no, like do one of these other ones.
Like ACOTAR?
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I'd be curious because like, the confusion that you get when you like first read that book and knowing what's coming, I want you to experience that.
So you can just witness me?
Yeah.
I will try and make it one of my like first books that I read next year.
Okay.
Or if I can finish my 2 books, then I can start it. But I've got to make the Goodreads gods happy.
Yeah.
And that'll do it for this episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. I love talking about books with you guys. Let us know if there's any other book-related podcast ideas, YouTube ideas, other podcast ideas you want to see. We're pretty open.
And we will talk to you guys next Thursday.
Bye.